Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Second and 10 from the 5. Darnold back to pass. Four-man rush. Sam looking to throw from the end zone. It's a safety and the game is over. Byron Young threw down Sam Darnold in the end zone. And it's a safety. There are no flags on the play. The Rams have taken a 30-20 lead.
Yeah, I think Darnold was yanked down by his face mask. And
I don't see a flag.
I know. I don't think you're going to get it. That's not a play that you can review.
Paul Allen, Pete Burchich, Vikings Radio. They kept their cool. I don't know how. That was embarrassing at the end of the game. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff.
Oh, come on. I'm a big critic of officials. We are not going to make the narrative of that game, that missed face mask call.
Listen, I don't know if the Vikings would have had to march all the way down the field, touchdown, get a two-point conversion, but that missed call was an abomination.
No way. They hadn't scored a touchdown in 47 minutes of football. There's no way they were marching down the field. Once their left tackle went out of the game, they couldn't move the ball at all, so forget it. It didn't matter. Did say that was not a key call.
I mean,
Oh my gosh,
Perloff, you cannot say that.
You just said, I don't know if the Vikings were going to march down the field.
But
what
I
want to
see them have a shot. They would have had first and 10 at the 20. They would have been out of the shadow of their end zone. They just had over a minute.
And how many timeouts?
Well, none, but that doesn't matter.
To get in the end zone and down 8. No, get out of here. They hadn't done anything in like 3 hours of real time.
Okay, but you don't think the Rams defense may have been a little tired at that point too? I want to see.
Yeah, the Rams defense was getting better and better as the night went on.
I want to see the game play out. So this is the thing. If you didn't watch the game last night, you're just getting up, just getting caught up. This is the issue. I got issues on a couple levels here. You and I have no idea how that game would have ended. Yes, would have been a long shot.
You say that about you and I. That's you. That Rams had won that game.
Then you're only playing the result and not getting upset about the process, which you should be upset about the process. Here's why. Because, first of all, the fact that a safety... So, here's the situation. The Vikings were down one score. They were down 8 points with about a minute and, 30-something, 40-something left to go in the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're backed up because of a great punt by the Rams punter that put it out at like the 2. And so as Darnold is going back to pass to try to get out the ball away from the own end zone, Byron Murphy of the Rams comes in. If you're an official who has made it to this level of the NFL, you've got to see and be in the right position, Pearl, where you see Sam Darnold's head basically spin around like the Exorcist. What do we think it was? Why would Darnold's neck... Why would he just all of a sudden get yanked all the way to one side, and all the officials got together and said they didn't see anything? Like, that to me is unfathomable. Now, the second part of this, we should all be upset with the league because all scoring plays are reviewable by video except for safeties. It puts points on the board.
Well, it doesn't matter. Even if they reviewed it, they
would have seen a face mask.
Yeah, but they can't call a face mask on a review. Because what were they reviewing? Like that you can't review.
That there was a penalty?
So it's not like if you review a touchdown and you randomly in the review see a hold, you can't call a hold out of nowhere. So it doesn't matter. Even if there was a review.
Oh, I see. If I feel like sometimes they do reviews and I get offsetting penalties that maybe...
No. You can't just make up a new penalty out of a review.
I understand it, but you would have seen the face mask there.
Right, you would have seen it, but you can't, by rule, call it.
Well, then that should be revisited.
So if you want to go with the Bill Belichick review everything, I'm down to talk about that. But that's not the way it is now. So there was no review coming on that.
Then this what I'm saying is, if all scoring plays could be reviewed, and why would you be reviewing it? To make sure that everything was proper, right?
No. That's not how the review is, to make sure like he was in the end zone. Like right. That's not, scoring reviews are not to pull new penalties out of somewhere.
I get that, but that's on the offensive side.
Right.
If you are going to review and make safeties reviewable, right, Don't you have to see whether everything was, like, for lack of a better term, kosher on that play? I'm talking about moving forward.
So All right. So
this
you
is
are
something that has to change.
Can you call it defensive holding on? Can you just invent like all of a sudden hands to the face? Like you call anything on that play? That's a totally different set of replay principles than what we have now.
Well, then, okay, but here's the thing. When you're talking about the offensive replay reviews, yes, were both of his feet in the end zone, were, you know, all of that stuff. That's one set of values. If we're talking about safeties, do you believe they should be reviewable safeties? It'd be a totally different set of values.
Definitely.
That you're looking for.
You should
see
if the guy's in the end zone or not. That's the key. You can't just say, oh, okay, all of a sudden there's a hole there. Let's add that in. Like, no, that's a new way to do replay. That's a replay everything. You can't just, what if there was a hole?
Then I think that it should count. Like, the hold should factor in.
They should add in the hold call.
So absolutely.
They should look at review and, like, so basically
you're not going to every single part of the field to be like, oh, was there a holding call on the total opposite side? I'm not saying fishing for penalties, but anything that has to do with that specific moment of the points being scored or being put on the board, yeah, I feel like that should all factor in.
What if but if you open that Pandora's box, then you're basically reviewing everything. Because if you're inserting new penalties into a review that you're not reviewing for, then what do we got here? Basically, they're looking at the play as if it never happened.
Listen,
and starting over again.
Honestly, the officials should want this more than anything because they're the ones who wear it today when they clearly miss this terrible call.
So they tried this in the NFL, by the way. They tried to review pass interference, impactful play,
yes.
And it didn't work.
Okay, but I'm talking about any time it leads to points on the board.
Yeah.
That pass interference play, that terrible one, Saints-Rams, that sent the Rams to the Super Bowl, that was in the middle of the field for the most part.
It doesn't matter.
Not at the end zone.
But it could be pass interference in the end zone, and they're not going to review it anyway. I mean, the same difference. The next year, there was a lot of pass interference. Because on these judgment calls, you can't just sit there. Pass interference is a 50-50 call anyway.
Is like, face mask a 50-50
yeah,
call?
Yeah, totally.
No, it's not.
Face mask is not like stepping out of bounds. Like, yes, it's any kind of personal foul, hands to the face mask. You can't just review, hey, they missed a face mask. New York calls in and say, let's review the play and do it over again. That's just not how it works.
But I feel like face mask is more on the level of stepping in or out of bounds. It's a lot more procedural to me than pass interference, which I get is...
But there's degrees of face mask, too. You might,
there's degrees of catch, no catch, and we review that, and we slow it down to the nth degree to basically pixelated video, and
so
that catch,
saying,
no catch is totally reviewable. So why wouldn't face mask be reviewable?
So you're saying, okay, from now on, review face mask.
I would love it. Call it the Sam Darnold rule, because Darnold got hosed last night.
I just think that...
He's probably in a neck brace. Good grief.
Oh, my God. All right. They missed a face mask. You know how many face masks they missed during a game? You know how many little things they missed during a game? You're basically saying review everything, is that what you want?
No, because I'm not saying review everything, because I'm not saying review things that are away from the play. I'm not saying go hunting for penalties. I'm saying we all know what it is, right? We all know the moment that leads to points being put on the board, right? I'm not talking about away from the play. I'm just talking about we all know the moment, the people who are involved. When Byron Murphy grabs Sam Darnold's face mask to the point where he's ripped to the side, then I feel like, yeah, that mattered in the moment.
So explain how this, just spell it out. You're in the competition committee with Rich McKay. How does it work?
I'd be like, Rich, you should have hired Belichick. No, I'm just kidding. I would say that if you, for all, anything that puts points on the board should be reviewed. Any play, safety, kickoff return for a touchdown, blocked field goal return for points, whatever you want to do, anything that puts points on the board. And if there is anything that rises to the level of egregious, I guess, or whatever you want to put at that level, a penalty that clearly impacts that play, yes, I think that should be factored in. So anyway, that's what I think yesterday.
So, for example, you would throw a red challenge flag. Say there was a missed face mask. You could throw a red challenge flag at any time.
By the way, this was inside of 2 minutes. It should have went upstairs anyway. Because everything that puts points on the board, all scoring plays are reviewed, and inside of 2 minutes, you don't have to throw the red challenge flag.
Yeah.
So this would apply in both cases, in my opinion.
Okay, so, all right.
Let's get it right. Like, this is, and again, if I'm an official, I want this to save my butt. Because these guys are going to get marked down for this. This officiating crew, was it Trey Blake, whoever his name was? He's going to get marked down for this, and they're all going to get marked down for this. So their ability to do postseason games, all of that stuff, they're going to get, this is a negative that goes against them. Because if you miss this call, it's because you weren't in the right position to make the call.
Do you know how many calls they miss a game?
But
25.
Okay, but...
Between 25 and 40. And I'm a big critic of officials.
Oh, I know you are.
But also, too, I thought the DPI, the last DPI where the guy sort of touched his hand, I thought that was insane, too. That totally a huge play for the Rams. There were a bunch of calls that went against the Vikings last night.
There were actually a lot of flags last night.
See, I don't think... But, okay, back to say, like, there's no way... That Vikings team was driving the length of the field with no timeouts against a Rams team that was protecting the end zone. Like, I just saw that game as a 99.5% win probability.
Yeah, but you know what? That's why you got to play the games.
But there's a million reasons to play the game. You could say, like, okay, it's 37-14. Let's play it out. Like, yes, something crazy could happen.
It was a one-score game, and the Vikings are a first-place team. They've got the best receiver in all of football, Justin Jefferson, who, by the way, made one of the most spectacular catches yet again that we're going to see all season long, with a bobbled, juggled sort of catch on the sideline in the third quarter, which honestly, if the Vikings offense was just a little bit better, they have to score there. They end up settling for a field goal, and that's when you knew their offense was feeling it from the loss of their left tackle and also the Rams defense. But here's the thing. You always have a chance. And I watched the Vikings come back on my Buffalo Bills in a game that everyone thought was over and everyone thought was improbable. And what happened? They end up winning a game on the road in an improbable fashion. So, that was Kirk Cousins. It wasn't Sam Darnold, but who cares? You got to let them play it out. It's not the Vikings are not the Saints right now or the Panthers. And by the way, that shouldn't matter anyway. Everyone should get their shot, whether you're, you know, the worst team in the NFL or one of the best teams. You should get your shot to actually try to play that out.
I really think you're misreading this game. Like, I think the Rams just kind of kicked their butt in the second half. And first of all, the Vikings in that particular drive showed no signs of having any success.
They didn't have a drive. They didn't have anything. They barely gotten the drive going.
Did they have a couple plays right before that? That was not first down.
I think it was second down, wasn't it? Anyway, there were how many penalties? How many first downs off of penalties last night? Tons.
That was second down, by the way.
It was second down. How many first downs off of penalties? You can find that in the team stats, too. I just think that, listen, I'm not going to disagree with you that the Rams' adjustments in the second half were great. And things started going against the Vikings in a way that started to snowball. But the bottom line was, it was still a one-score game.
Yeah. I think that game was the game that the play that sealed the game was awesome when Cooper Kupp caught that pass from Stafford around the 50.
Stafford
and
was great.
Combined with the punt, like, to me, that game was over. And also, they would have had to hit a 2-point conversion. Like, yeah, technically, it was still alive, but really, it did not feel like the Vikings had any chance to go. That's a long way to go when you're protecting the end zone. Like, all you have to do is lay back and let them get yards, because they had to get into the end zone with no timeouts, so they would have had to use the middle of the field. They did not have that many plays left.
But Pearl, do you feel like the fans, because this is an entertainment product, do you feel like the fans were served correctly last night, that the game ended like that and not with just the Vikings being stalled on a fourth down or whatever? Like, to me, that's the issue. We can talk about whether or not they had a chance to win. I don't think they would have won, but as a fan, I felt like this is not how this game was supposed to end. It's like watching the end of a movie and the ending is terrible, or right. a terrible wrestling match and the finish doesn't work. Like, that's the problem with this.
I think there's so many games that have much more impactful calls. Like, because I think the win probability was well above 99% at this time.
Yeah, but we always see, first of all, I hate win probability because how many times do we see people tweeting out or putting on social media the graphs of the win probability is and then all of a sudden it changes. And you do have one of these great weapons in Justin Jefferson. It's not like they were throwing out a bunch of nobodies. It's not the Vikings didn't deserve to be on the field with them last night. It was a one-score game.
So you saw a lot of movement in that Vikings offense in the second half that made you think they could get 80 yards with no timeouts in a minute?
I saw Justin Jefferson maybe make the catch of the year in the second half.
I think there have been dozens and dozens of more impactful missed calls this year, because I thought that game was over.
But here's the thing. Why do any of those other calls matter if we're talking about this game and what happened in this game?
Because the game was basically over. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't think the Vikings showed any signs of being able to pull off a miracle last night.
Well, but the game's over when it's 41-10. It's 37-6.
This happens to be a standalone primetime game. You know how many real impactful calls there are where the game is in the balance and it comes down to a one call? Like, real close.
No, I know, but isn't that doing the whataboutism? Like, that's, like, we can always say there was a worse call. There's always going to be a more egregious call. We're talking about this call, this game.
Yeah.
I just felt like the officials, you know, this is their training, is to, like, how many times, yes, they get blocked by guys who are much generally much bigger, you know, than they are, and it's hard to see.
Yeah.
But when you're backed up like that, there's actually a little bit less of the field to even be accountable for when you have that many referees are in a small, condensed area.
I think there have probably been 35 to 50 bigger missed calls this year. In my opinion,
but
like that was
not, that just, but
I'm not saying it doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, because it was a big, because the Rams soundly beat them last night. I just think, like, the Vikings were not going anywhere on that drive. I just did feel they hadn't done anything in the second half. They looked just
kicked two field goals.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, but they were going to get in the end zone. They did not have a lot of time. They had no timeouts. So that means that they would have had to either try the sidelines or go to the middle. There's just no way they were getting the length of the field in that situation. It's so easy to protect the end zone in that situation. All you have to do is tackle, like, two guys in bounds, and the game is basically over. Like, maybe you get a Hail Mary. Maybe.
I mean, we saw that your Eagles just gave up a big one to, was it Atlanta, week two? Like, what was the win probability of that game? What if Kirk Cousins gets sacked on the face mask with 1 minute left? Are you saying, well, the game was over? We knew
that
they were going to score a touchdown.
What was the score of that game?
It was a one-score game.
Yeah, but not 8 points. And also, too, that was a field goal game. It was a lot different, right? Wasn't that? I think that was three.
They scored a touchdown to win, though.
I just think that,
And then we had a conversation earlier this week about the Godwin play. And that's a 10-point game, and you're like, well, that, you know, you got to play the game out, right? Like, it's a 10-point game. They're moving the ball. Like, you can't take them out the game. So, for our coach, you're playing to the end of the game. For the refs, the end of the game doesn't matter. I don't understand that juxtaposition.
You're talking about Chris Godwin, who ended up getting hurt, and season is over because the Bucs were trying to make this last-minute furious comeback with onside kicks and things that were way...
They had way less a chance to win the game than the Vikings last night.
Yeah, because they were trailing by two scores.
Right.
Anyway...
Well, to me, like, a game that came down to a call was, like, Ohio State-Oregon. That came down to one call. The entire game. That was the story of the game to me. The Jeremiah Smith offensive pass interference. This is not in the top five storylines of that game to me.
But what if this play happens at the 50-yard line, though?
Then it's different. But how are they possibly going to get to the 50-yard line with no left tackle and Jared Verse basically sitting in Sam Darnold's lap
the entire game?
How is that going to happen?
Well,
I mean, it was the Vikings felt like they should have. They were just getting destroyed offensively. Like, the second half was a jailbreak on the pass rush.
It was a different game in the second half, I'll give you that. But the Vikings still did get in the red zone. They should have scored on that Justin Jefferson catch that was awesome on the sideline. They end up getting... stopped and had to settle for a field goal. Both times had to settle for a field goal. Listen, Matthew Stafford threw an interception in the second half. You thought the Vikings were going to be able to get some momentum off of that. It's not like it was a blowout. If people didn't see the game, I don't want to misrepresent what it was. Yes, the Rams were good in the second half. The Vikings, though, were still in this game. It was tied at halftime, and the Vikings were still in this game. Now, the Rams got a major boost last night because Puka Nacua came back, Perloff, and boy did he, along with Cooper Kupp. And this was why you and I yesterday were wondering and kind of baffled by the idea that Cooper Kupp was on the trade block. Now, I assumed it was to try to get some kind of picks to stockpile to maybe go after a quarterback for next year in the draft if you need some ammunition, maybe trade up, what have you. And then they look like a contender yesterday. Nacua, 7 catches, 106 yards on 9 targets, and Cooper Kupp, 5 catches for 51 yards and scored a touchdown. DeMarcus Robinson had 2 touchdowns for the Rams. They were cooking.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I think the start of the game is Kyren Williams is awesome.
Awesome, too.
I couldn't believe McVay, give him credit, man. He sticks with a run like nobody. That was really cool. Yeah, to me, like, I was excited. I came out of that game saying, whoa, the Rams are back. Not, they missed the face mask. That's just to me, like, whoa, this is so exciting.
Both can be true.
Yeah, both can be true. I think you guys are overestimated. This reminds me a lot of the Dak Prescott play against San Francisco. I'm going back.
Oh, wow, the playoff game?
Yeah, so that Dak Prescott failed to, failed to spike the ball at the end. They were at the 40-yard line. They had one play left.
Yeah, you're talking about a couple years ago now.
But your point, you're like, Prescott screwed that up because he had a good shot at the end zone for the 40-yard line. To me, like, that's a less than 1% chance to score. Like, when the defense knows you have to get in the end zone, you just basically camp out at the end zone. Like, it would have been incredibly hard. This is where we're really... It would have been incredibly hard for the Vikings to get down the field with no timeouts in a minute.
But hard isn't impossible.
Yeah, hard's not impossible, but there's a million things in the course of a game that could have been different that... affected this. I think you're way focusing on this one play. There were probably 25 other missed calls in this game.
Well,
they were just as impactful in a way as this play.
Listen, I'm trying to get over to the wide receivers and them coming back, but yeah, I think both things are true.
I think the Rams won that game, and like that should be the narrative.
There was
one big missed call at the end of the game, but I just don't understand why everyone's making that big a deal of it.
But you're not like omnipotent, you know? You don't know exactly how this would have gone.
And again, you can
say you think you know how it would have gone,
right.
But to be honest, you don't definitively know. And I think that's where people like me get frustrated, because I just wanted to see if the Vikings could have actually marched down the field. And the thing is they definitely, there was a face mask on that play.
Yeah.
And once they got the safety, well, now it's a two-score game, and now the game is definitely over. So essentially, a missed call, ended the game. And I guess what's doubly frustrating is that in this day and age, where the games take forever, where there's 1,000 penalties that are called throughout the game, where we have 1,000,000 replay reviews that go down to the blade of grass, when these kind of egregious misses happen, it feels unforgivable. Because I watch reviews from Mars, like they tell it like it's a satellite comes in with the reviews, and then all of a sudden to end on this kind of play, I think is really frustrating.
And you have to advocate for a review everything, and I don't see why.
Bill Belichick wants to do it.
So
people should listen.
Let's
to him.
Just be as a show. I'm a review everything guy. I don't know why they don't review everything. I've still never heard a good explanation. I think they should have kept the pass interference review. I think it's an important play. But the problem is, like, if you review pass interference, like, there's some contact there, when you get how much contact. Now, face mask, you might be one where it's black and white.
I think so.
Yeah, okay, so add face mask. But the truth is, it's not there. You can't review for a face mask.
I know.
They review the play, right? They do review safeties, don't they?
No. They said safeties is not reviewable. I thought that's what I heard last night on the broadcast.
Yeah, I believe
that they
not
review
is reviewable,
that.
And they don't review safeties.
Which is crazy to me. It's a scoring play. I assumed that they did review safeties.
I will just for housekeeping, that Falcons game, it was a 6-point game, and it was 99% win probability for the Eagles, and the Falcons went down and scored. Now they didn't need a field goal.
They didn't need
a 2-point conversion, but it's not that dissimilar. Like, we had a game that ended with the Eagles lost that game.
Yeah, but the Eagles defense is god awful in the clutch. Anyway, the Rams are killing them. That's the other thing too. Like, honestly, worst things were going to happen if they got the ball to 20. Sam Darnold would have been sacked 3 times on the next drive. I mean, that was not headed in the right direction. In my opinion.
By the way, so what I'm seeing here, so a safety is reviewed as a scoring play, but it does not include checking to make sure penalties, including a face mask, were called or not called correctly.
Right, same as a touchdown. Like, they're not looking for a face mask on a touchdown call. You can't all of a sudden invent a face mask on any scoring play.
855-212-4227. All right. Were you watching the game last night? How did you feel about it? There's a lot of ways to feel about it. Puka Nacua back with a vengeance. Cooper Kupp was on the trade block yesterday before the game. I don't know about that.
I need Rams fans to call in and tell me I'm right here that we had that game won.
We.
It's a good day to be we. I'm like, we, me, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, you know, the gang. All of us.
All of you together. Okay, lots more to do. Maggie and Perloff. All right, well, I actually did not have a side on this game. I wasn't sure. I wanted to feel it out. But boy, was I loving the NBA last night. Loving the NBA.
What'd
with Prize Picks, the best place to get real money sports action while you watch football, while you watch basketball. 10 million members, Perloff. You and I are two proud ones. Billions of dollars in awarded winnings. And that's just some of the amazing parts of Prize Picks.
Yep, the app's so simple to use. You pick two or more players, any sport, more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money. They even invented flex play, so you can cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit. It's awesome. I'm going to ride Wemby this year because I called him a bust last year.
Can I tell you what I hit? So it was the Jaylen Brown over points, and it was the Nikola Jokic over assists.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. You can download.
More than.
Download the PrizePicks app today and use code MMP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on PrizePicks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. PrizePicks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We are headed down a dangerous road on this show. A dangerous road, people.
I think we're coming up with solutions here. We should send these ideas to the league.
But this is the NFL, where every solution has four unintended consequences that you couldn't possibly manage. Everyone here, except for me, thinks that the key story, well, not the key story. One of the key storylines last night was the face mask that was missed at the end of the game. Sam Darnold was in the end zone. He got grabbed in the face mask. They called a safety. The Rams seal a 30-20 win. It was 28-20 at the time. So everybody here is like, that should be reviewable. That is that
face
a
mask.
Fair,
yes.
Fair statement? Yes. Maybe you review face mask. But in the moment, you can't just invent a face mask review. Like, the officials couldn't do anything. Like, they couldn't pull a Georgia, Texas and huddle for 3 minutes and say, you know what, that was a face mask.
Okay.
Like, they missed it in real time. I'm sorry, you screwed up. It happens all the time. The game is moving 100 miles an hour. If you want to change the rules to review face masks, then let's talk.
Okay, but there's an eye in the sky that we are led to believe is the safety net here. Not only in the stadium, but I believe back in New York, too. And, you know, this is supposed to be the thing that catches the mistake. So if the referees missed the face mask, they said none of them saw it. Everyone just happened to be blocked on this play. They could not see, even though Darnold's head basically went 180 degrees.
You've officiated before.
Yes.
I can, in real time, missing a call is the most common thing that ever happened.
That's why the replay's there.
Right, but that they don't, what is it called? The replay assist.
Yeah.
Replay assist doesn't work that fast to call a face mask. Like, they've never called a face mask on a replay assist. Replay assist is like that receiver's foot was out of bounds.
Yeah, but also replay assist just kind of started recently. Like, who's to say it can't be expanded?
Sure, but it wasn't. They're not going to expand it in real time with 1 minute left in the Vikings-Rams game.
Well, that's exactly when they should do it, especially inside 2 minutes without a doubt.
Do you
want
to see holding called on replay assist?
I want to see whatever gets it right on things that actually have to do with the play. You know, you and I talk about how frustrating it is to see holding calls on, you know, plays at the goal line and stuff like that, where it's like these run plays, like certain plays.
Run holding is very frustrating.
It's very frustrating, especially sometimes they'll call it when the guy's already 5 yards down the field. It's just, I don't love that, so I get what you're talking about. But anything that has to do, like this was, whether you think it would have, change the outcome or not, you also have to agree this was a pivotal play in the game.
Okay, so wait, is this only for pivotal plays?
I think inside 2 minutes. I think that's why there's different rules for inside 2 minutes.
Okay, it's also a scoring play.
Hello, Bogish.
Good morning.
Okay, so what if there's a game-winning touchdown, the other team calls for review, and they find there was an offensive pick, offensive pass interference. You want to review that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
if it
God,
impacted the play.
But if you don't catch that in real time and you're going to go back and like the whole, you know, say it's in Tampa Bay and the Bucs score the game-winning touchdown, then like a minute later, they're like, there was an offensive pick. Let's take it out. Like, people will not be happy about that. You know, I'm just saying, like, the review is great until it like kind of hurts your team.
Well, but I also think, too, that a face mask is on the short list of calls where there is no debate. It's a face mask or it's not.
It's not a judgment call.
We can look at a pick and go, oh, that's a pick, or it's not a pick. Like, you can have a debate. That's a hold. It's not really a hold.
There's some debate on face mask.
When a guy is tackled by his face, that's a penalty.
Right, but what if he sort of gets up in the face mask but doesn't grab it? Like, there's some judgment.
Well, those aren't face masks anymore. There's 15 and 5 yards where there was 2 degrees. Now it's very clear. If you grab the face mask and pull, then it's a face mask regardless. We saw Baker Mayfield got called for it on Monday.
I just think you guys are opening up a can of worms, and I'm down.
It's been opened. The worms are open.
Watch on Sunday. There are going to be so many impactful calls that are missed.
And we talk about them.
You can't talk about all of them. And the other thing, too, is in the final 2 minutes, that means that in 2 minutes and 14 seconds left in the game, they're going to miss this impactful call. And you guys are going to be like, well, I only won the last 2 minutes.
You should be able to review personal fouls. So roughing the passer, face masks, stuff like that. That would be better than just like a random holding call. If you were to be able to review someone's face getting ripped to the floor or someone getting like full body weight on a quarterback where they throw a flag where it doesn't look like that, if you could challenge that, I'd be okay with it because those you can look at. Like a random hold, you can't really judge.
Yeah. Can you challenge? I thought, did they do replay now on roughing the passer?
No.
No, they didn't. No. They didn't change that yet. They will.
And also, to me, like, don't lose side of the fact that just has to be called. Like, we don't need replay if Trey Blake, that's his name, right, does his job. Like, he's looking at two things at that instance. All the officials have different, he's not looking at everything.
Right.
He's looking at the line, and then he's looking at the quarterback, and he didn't see Sam Darnold's head get spun around. How does he miss that?
Well,
he said he was blocked.
By what? By Sam? By the guy's hand on Sam Darnold's face mask? I don't understand. What was he blocked by?
Probably that giant scoreboard at SoFi Stadium. There's no idea.
There's a shot from behind the end zone where you basically have his vantage point. You can see him and then the play. He's blocking me, and I still see the thing. There's nothing blocking him.
How about this for weekly in our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, said, I owe Maggie and Andrew an apology. I was wrong yesterday. You said the game was a sleeper good game, and it was.
We said that?
We did. We said it was a sneaky good game.
It was the Vikings-Rams. Everybody thought it was a good game. Yeah. That was his...
I don't know.
Really?
Everybody.
There were a lot of people, I think, who believe that the Rams trading Cup, putting Cup on the trade deadline, was a little bit of waving the white flag. But
yesterday afternoon, when we went from practice window open to Puka Nacua to Puka Nacua is lining up, then that game got really good real fast because we did not know yesterday. I was thinking about that, Maggie. We had no idea Puka Nacua was going to play. Nobody did.
Not even close.
Give the Rams credit. Like,
they kept
to
it
sneak
secret.
That one in there.
I was even thinking, I bet he wasn't on Al Michaels' chart.
Yeah.
On his spotting chart because he wasn't supposed to play unless somebody whispered to them, like, hey, Puka's going to give it a go. But he might have shown up at, you know, inactive list comes out and they go, oh, I got to add Nacua onto my little chart here.
By the way, best thing the Amazon Prime broadcast has ever done is showing us what Al Michaels eats at his favorite
Toscana,
restaurant.
Yeah.
That looked really good.
There were a lot of people. There were a lot of experts who said the Vikings just came off that Lions game that went to the last minute and were traveling on a short week. Like, that was a bad spot for the Vikings. Let's face it. Like, I don't know, like, where you put that loss. Like, I don't feel like they blew anything. Like, that's a hard game to win. On a Thursday night to go to L.A. after playing your division, your chief division rival, that was always going to be
bad. It was also a Vikings home game.
I don't know. The Rams
It was
fans,
technically in L.A., but...
I don't know. I saw more Rams fans than I've ever seen. Like, they were excited at the end.
I mean, who was doing the skull chant after the sack?
I don't know. That was a really tough...
Was it Byron Murphy? I forgot who it was.
That was a tough travel situation on a short week to go against. All of a sudden, the Rams go from this skeleton team to this fully loaded Rams offense. And then when Darisaw went down... That, to me, was a key storyline. That guy, whatever they paid him in the offseason, he's worth more than that. They just imploded when their left tackle got hurt.
Yeah, he's the highest paid left tackle in the game, I believe.
Yeah, Jared Verse was like, who is a rookie, looked like he was playing against a JV team. So, I don't know. I think there are three or four more important storylines than the missed face mask. To me, I understand what you guys are saying, and I like dunking on NFL officials, but I come away and say, man, Kyren Williams may be the most underrated running back in the NFL. Puka Nacua and Cup are back. Don't trade Cup. And the Vikings, EJ, your Vikings, they're a little thin. I don't know.
I mean, Nacua, I didn't think he was going to play last night. So that's why I thought a Vikings win should have happened. And they did get robbed. Now, I don't know. They probably weren't going to win this game. But at the end of the day, a face mask wasn't called. And they didn't have an opportunity to move the ball on the field to see what would have happened.
Sam Darnold scored 6 points after the 5-minute mark.
But they also, the defense fell apart. I mean, they had two long drives that ended in field goal. So it wasn't like they didn't move the ball. It was they could not get the Rams off the field or out of the end zone. Yeah. Like, that's a big part of it, too.
Both of those field goals were basically chip shots.
Yeah,
it was like 35 yards.
The ball. It wasn't like the Vikings were just completely inept.
I thought Darnold really kind of fell off after that. First two drives, he looked like a world beater.
He started taking these terrible sacks last
night.
Yes,
that's what it was.
Well,
I was actually thinking about it. He took a sack. I'm sorry. I know we're killing the updates here. But he took a sack. I'm like, ooh, Maggie's going to say same old Sam Darnold. I kept saying that to myself last night.
No, same old Sam Darnold used to be sailing a 5-yard pass into the first row.
How about that one where
or into the dirt,
he
but definitely gone, not to the receiver.
He spun out the wrong way. He must have lost 20 yards on that one play. That was a huge play.
Man, so much. So much to do. You want to throw some headlines in now?
Sure. That's all sponsored by PrizePicks. Football season's here, and PrizePicks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download PrizePicks, use code MNP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit PrizePicks.com for restrictions and details. As you were just discussing, the Vikings started fast last night in L.A. Touchdowns on their first two possessions, then just 6 points over the final three quarters. Head coach Kevin O'Connell says the Rams made adjustments.
They were doing a lot of things coverage-wise to, you know, try to keep a roof on the coverage to not let the big plays happen, where Sam was able to kind of check the ball down to some guys, put the ball in play. We got the screen game going a little bit in the second half, and then we just didn't sustain enough, and we weren't on the field enough.
mainly because of Matthew Stafford. Four touchdown passes for the veteran QB. One of them to Cooper Kupp and his return from that ankle injury. Puka Nacua back surprisingly from a sprained knee. No touchdowns, but seven catches for 106 yards. Their Rams win 30-20, their second victory in 5 days. The Vikings' second loss in 5 days. The Denver Broncos confirmed yesterday that wide receiver Josh Reynolds was shot last Friday after leaving Shotgun Willie's.
I was going to text you guys.
Wild.
This is crazy that we happen to be talking about this exact same place yesterday. We had no idea that the story had happened.
And happened for a week. This was last Thursday night into Friday morning, and we had no idea, and we are not going to the world's largest office party. That is out.
Well, nope. It starts in a couple hours.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know.
That place is...
I still kind of want to go.
Yeah, no thanks.
I'm just kidding. Why any athlete would go there now? I'm not trying to ruin their business or anything, but John Moran's security footage gets leaked. That's how Shotgun Willie's got on our radar.
Yeah.
And then this happened, not at the place, but someone followed them out.
It started at the place because the same security footage. You can watch two guys allegedly follow Josh Reynolds and his buddies out of the club. They each get into their own cars. One car follows the other, and then there's shots. And Reynolds got hit in his arm and the back of his head.
Yeah, what's up with that?
But then was treated and released that night, and he's been at headquarters like usual since, because he's on IR, so he's not like practicing, but he's been there for meetings, so he must have just gotten like grazed by the bullet, but man.
I was like, was he wearing his helmet? Who gets shot crazy in the back of the head and lives to tell about it? I was saying to you guys last night, it's funny because when this kind of stuff happens, where these awful things happen, but the guys survive and there's like barely a scratch on you or you're able to recover, like Ricky Pearsall gets robbed in broad daylight, gets shot in the chest, is now playing in the NFL. Brian Robinson, shot in the leg a couple years ago during a carjacking, back on the field that same season. Are you the most unlucky person or the luckiest person? Because you're unlucky to be in the situation, but now you're lucky to be able to survive it. That is unreal.
Or were we oversold on being shot? Is not that big of a deal.
I think it's still a really big deal. I don't want to test that.
I got to say, Ricky Pearsall is the all-timer. I mean, he got shot through his chest.
Yeah.
I mean, he must have missed important things.
I think Brian Robinson almost bled out. I think that was the problem with him, right? Like, was where he got shot.
There's a big artery in your leg.
But he was back very soon as well.
I know. That's what I'm saying. These guys are, it's this had been three horrible tragedies in the last 2 years.
Meanwhile, Joel Embiid can't even find the court, and he's got a sore knee. Sorry.
What's his excuse?
Yeah. If these guys were in the NBA, they would take the next 3.5 years off and get paid $97 million a year to do so.
Embiid shot by the wind, and he's missing 3 weeks.
I don't know why.
Top 25 football last night. Number 19, Pitt, picked off Syracuse QB Kyle McCord 5 times, returning 3 of them for touchdowns. The Panthers cruising to a 41-13 win. They are 7-0 for the first time since 1982.
By the way, can we just call them the Maggie and Perloff Show's Pitt Panthers? Because we're all on board this team, right?
No. I'm from upstate New York, man.
A team is in their conference.
Syracuse.
Definitely not.
Pro team around where I grew up.
Yeah, but this is football, not basketball.
Same. Donovan McNabb was there when I was a kid.
Oh, I knew you were going to throw out the McNabb team. Get out of here.
McNabb versus
Syracuse
Michael Vick
football is not
was one
a
of
thing.
The great games that happened in the Carrier Dome.
When's the last time you were in the Carrier Dome watching the Syracuse Orange play football?
2002.
Yeah, come on. Come on. That doesn't mean you can't embrace the Pitt Panthers. This is a wonderful story.
Yeah, it is a good story.
Nice story, but I'm a Canes fan, so no. We could play them in the conference championship game. I'm not going to be rooting for Pitt.
There's 412 teams in the ACC right now. You can expand your. Come on, that traditional Pitt Miami rivalry.
Well, we have
do play every year.
The SMU Duke throw out the record book. That ACC matchup, classic, is happening this weekend.
When Miami and Cal get together, I mean, it
Well, now that might actually be the start of something cool.
Coke
that was a great
Wolf,
game,
baby.
Yeah, I know. Except Cal has not won a game in the ACC, have they? Anyway.
The Boston Celtics are 2-0 after a 122-102 win in Washington. 27 points for Jason Tatum, 25 for Jaylen Brown. And the Thunder smothered the Nuggets in their opener, 102-87 in Denver. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 28 points and 8 assists. Guys, back to you.
So much to do, Bogus. Thank you. Coming up, we got a question for you about this epic matchup between the Yankees and the Dodgers. We'll do that next. My kid's into Paul Simon now. It's great. Anyway, welcome back. Maggie and Perloff, I've rediscovered it as well. All right, we have a lot to get to. We've been talking about that Rams-Viking game from last night because of the controversial face mask at the end of the game. But Perloff, we got a World Series that starts tonight with the two most iconic franchises in all of Major League Baseball.
Yes.
But I ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the best championship you can get? In terms of iconic franchises, in terms of history, like what is the creme de la creme? If you just did all sports, what's the best it can possibly be? Because I think Yankees-Dodgers lays claim to the best it can possibly be for a championship matchup, regardless of the sport.
Yeah, I'd go that second. I still think Celtics-Lakers has a little bit more magic. Little bit. Magic. See what I did
there?
Dad joke alert.
Wow.
That was totally accidental.
Well done, Ryan.
Yeah, I just think that Celtics-Lakers series flies like a bird. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I think, you know, those are the two big iconic ones. I recently watched a documentary on the Dodgers-Yankees World Series in the 70s.
Yeah,
so that was good.
Back-to-back matchup.
But just the history of the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Yankees makes it, and the fact that Jackie Robinson was involved,
yeah,
who is a very key historic figure, to me elevates that to second. So I think that's great. Like, still Celtics-Lakers number one, but I'm going to put Dodgers-Yankees right there as number two.
What's the NFL equivalent here?
Well, the problem is that the great rivalries are within the same conference, so they can't meet in the Super Bowl. I'm not sure. There's nothing, I guess Steelers, Cowboys.
Right. But I mean, it's always that way though, right?
Yeah.
Like it's always that way for these sports. So yeah, I would say Steelers, Cowboys is probably number one. And just in terms of the fan bases that are the most iconic meeting in the biggest game. But I also feel like the Packers deserve to be in this conversation as well, but I'm not sure who their opponent would be.
Wow.
Probably Steelers.
The Chiefs to repeat the early Super Bowls. I don't know. No, there's no Packers, Steelers, Super Bowl.
I get it. We don't have a history of that, but we're talking about iconic franchises and their history and everything. I mean, Yankees, Dodgers to me is the top of the food chain.
You put that above Celtics, Lakers?
I put it right there. How about that? I'll put it right there. The fact that Major League Baseball goes back way further than the NBA could give the nod. Just the fact that it's so, like, yesterday Reggie Jackson had a quote that said, Yankees-Dodgers is part of the American fabric.
Absolutely.
And I agree with that. And I think people look at Lakers-Celtics and say it's a great rivalry that has a ton of history. Do they say it's part of the American fabric? Maybe, but not like Yankees-Dodgers.
I slightly disagree with that. But the funny thing is about the Cowboys Steelers. Remember they played in that Barry Switzer Super Bowl was against the Steelers. Like, that didn't feel iconic at all. The one where
Neil O'Donnell.
Yeah, Neil O'Donnell
threw four picks. That didn't feel like a historic matchup at all. That felt like that Steelers team was lucky to be there.
I was going to say, or the fact is that the Cowboys were just such a wagon at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that was their last Super Bowl, ironically. Yeah. But you know, you could say I'm trying to think if we get Bills Cowboys feels a little iconic. They met twice. I don't know. It's hard. For some reason, this particular things about the Yankees Dodgers makes them so special. To me, Reggie Jackson's 3-home run game was such a huge moment. It's one of the biggest World Series moments. We were talking about this last night. It's been featured in many, many movies. Like, it was a seminal moment for a generation. The movie Summer Sam and what was going on in the 70s in New York. It's just like the Yankees-Dodgers has history, not just baseball history, but American history woven into it. I think that's what Reggie's getting to.
Yeah, I think they're probably right about that. I mean, you know, not to make a case for your point, but I think, you know, Celtics-Lakers also has some American history in it, but probably just more about, like, the history of racism in Boston and Bill Russell and all that. I think there's a lot of that there as well.
But also, too, the Celtics-Lakers took the NBA to a whole new level in the 80s. So you got to remember that.
Magic
sport,
and Larry.
Magic Bird. And you had the mano a mano. But I got to tell you, this matchup with Shohei and Aaron Judge, like, this is, you don't get any better than that. I think this particular matchup adds to the lore, especially if if we get a 7-game series, can you imagine it comes out either Otani or Judge? Then this is going to be very special.
It is very special. Can I tell you one thing I'm a little just like slightly pre-bummed out about? the fact they came out yesterday, Dave Roberts said definitively, absolutely, there is no way that Shohei Ohtani is going to be pitching in this series. Mm-hmm. And I was not expecting him to be. But you're always wondering. I wasn't expecting Puka Nacua to play last night. And look, he had, you know, over 100 yards receiving. So you're always like holding out hope. But imagine if it came down to Shohei on the mound against Aaron Judge. Like okay. It did in the World Baseball Classic, Shohei against his then teammate Mike Trout for the final out of the World Baseball Classic.
All right.
We're not going to get that scenario, so this is not a full Hollywood script, but it's pretty close.
I got to admit that. It's pretty cool. I didn't even think about that.
You don't want Shohei to pitch. I'm like, why?
Shohei, first of all, that's stupid. Shohei in the closing the game in Game 7.
I just watched it at the World Baseball Classic.
If you tried to sell that as a movie script, no one would buy it. They'd be like, that's too ridiculous. So the best hitter in baseball is going to be on the mound against the other best hitter?
Throw it in the trash. Could have happened.
Yeah.
I was holding out hope. Coming up, bigger game for the Cowboys or 49ers?